So, as you can see, the title of the message this morning is One Blood. Now, the first thing that I need you to know to understand the rest of the message this morning, to have context for this message, is that the word blood is also slang for family. Blood is family. I think that phrase originated in the gang culture, but everyday people in this country use it as well. And you may have heard somebody use the phrase, that's my blood relative. That's my blood. Blood is thicker than water. Those are all phrases that are metaphors for family. Now, I want to piggyback off of last week's message about the church. I want to discuss how the universal church family of God can be referred to as one blood. As Christians, we are one blood. As Christians, we all belong to one family. So, let's go back to the beginning. Back to creation. Back to when God created man. Specifically Adam, followed later by Eve. Now, as it relates to ancestry, Adam and Eve are the ancestors of every single human being on this planet. However, this does not mean that we are all one blood. This does not mean that we are all part of their family. It does not mean that we're all part of God's family. There's a requirement. There's a requirement to become part of God's family. Jesus. Now, I can say that none of us are directly related to Adam. Maybe some of you are, I'm not sure. But none of us are directly related to Adam, meaning we didn't come from his immediate family lineage. We are not in the bloodline of Adam. If I had to put a name on it for practical purposes, for us to understand, I would call us in-laws of Adam. I would call all humans in-laws of Adam. But not grandsons or granddaughters of Adam. But there is one person who is the great-grandson of Adam. And his name is Jesus. You see, in Luke chapter 3, we see a genealogy of Jesus. We see his family tree, and it takes us all the way back to Adam. Now, we also have a genealogy in Matthew chapter 1, and this ends with Abraham, not Adam. So as I was studying this week, I realized that between these two books, Luke 3, Matthew 1, from Abraham to David, every name is the same. Everything's the same between Abraham and David. But then from David to Jesus, every name is different. And then Luke also leads us from Abraham to Adam. I thought this was odd, so I had to look into it a little more. And here's what I found out. Matthew was writing specifically to the Jewish people. He was writing to Jewish people. That was the audience that he meant his book for. So he included Jewish ancestors in his list because it would make more of an impact to his readers, to his listeners. Luke is primarily writing to the Gentiles. So Jewish history would not hold as much weight with them. Luke didn't see it as important in his eyes. But here's the thing. Both writers are trying to lead people to Jesus. Both writers are serving the same purpose. They're trying to lead people to Jesus. Both writers understand their audience, and they know what their audience needs to hear in order to believe the message of the gospel. So, there's opponents of Christianity out there. There's people that are against Christianity, and they'll try to use passages like Matthew 1 and Luke 3 to point out contradictions in the Bible. Well, why don't these match? That must not be true then if these two things don't match. Well, these accusations are false. They're unfounded and they're false. Matthew 1 and Luke 3 do not contradict each other. In fact, they support each other. And they serve the same purpose, which is leading people to Jesus. See, you may think there are contradictions in the Bible when you read it, but there are not. Every book of the Bible, from Old Testament to New Testament, from Genesis to Revelation, points to Jesus. If we believe the Bible is the inspired word of God, which we do, and that every book of the Bible points to Jesus, how can the Bible possibly contradict itself? It doesn't make sense. Any and all claims of contradiction in the Bible are merely based on human opinion, not biblical truth. The Bible is a cohesive book that points to Jesus. That's why it's God's word. Now let me backtrack for a second. If we are ancestors of Adam, why are we not automatically part of God's family? Because of Adam's sin. Original sin has separated us from God. Sin has tainted our divine ancestry. We cannot be close to God. We cannot be God's blood because of sin. So let's get back to God's blood, God's family, namely Jesus. What did Jesus do for God and for us? He poured out his blood on the cross. He made the once and for all blood sacrifice necessary for the permanent forgiveness of our sins. He bridged the gap between God and man. Jesus' sacrifice reconciled our relationship to our Father, to God. And now we have the opportunity to join God's family, to become his blood. If we profess our faith in Jesus, we get to join the immediate family lineage, the bloodline of Adam, Abraham, David, and Jesus. Why? Because Jesus lives in us. Jesus lives in us. God's Son, Jesus, lives in us. And that makes us God's blood. That makes us God's family. And as members of God's family, we Christians then become one blood. We Christians become one family, and we're called to act like it. We are called to unity. So let me read John chapter 17, verses 9 to 24. It's on the back of your insert in your bulletin. There's a Bible in front of you. If you have your phone and Bible app, feel free to use that. John 17, verses 9 to 24. To give you a little background, this is Jesus' last prayer to his Father before being arrested. This is his last prayer before being arrested. In less than a day, he will be killed by crucifixion. Again, John 17, 9 to 24. My prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me, he's speaking to God, because they belong to you. All who are mine belong to you, and you have given them to me, so they bring me glory. Now, I am departing from the world. They are staying in this world, but I'm coming to you. Holy Father, you have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name, so that they will be united just like we are. During my time here, I protected them by the power of the name you gave me. I guarded them so that not one was lost, except for the one headed to destruction, as the scriptures foretold. Now, I am coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so that they would be filled with my joy. I have given them your word. And the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them, so they can be made holy by your truth. I am praying not only for these disciples, but for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me, because you loved me even before the world began. Those are some powerful words spoken by Jesus for us. That was a prayer for us. See, Jesus has given us the glory that God gave him so that we may be one as they are one. May we experience such perfect unity that the world will know that God sent Jesus for them and that God loves them as much as he loves his son. One Father's, one Son became one Savior so we could become one blood, so we could become one family. And at Trinity, the pastors, the staff, the counselor advocates, the ministry team leaders, the leadership team, and the rest of the Christians who call this church their home are one blood. We are one blood, and we have one mission: helping people love and follow Jesus. That's our mission here at Trinity Church. That's the point of this service, the celebration of ministry. We are all one blood, and we have one mission: helping people love and follow Jesus. Amen.